The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting from the wonderful streets of Burbank, California, this is the Knapsack Files. I'm Ken Knapsack for a special return guest edition of the Knapsack Files. This gentleman is one of my favorite people in the world, and I now work with him. He's also been on the Knapsack Files and on my other podcast, Force Center, a few times because not only is he great to talk to, often nowadays he is sitting to my left every day. It is Mark Yody Riley.
It's a pleasure being here, Ken. I enjoy the fact that you sit to my right.
Yeah.
And that we are working together, known each other many years now, many years of friendship. Now, the start of a work relationship.
Yeah, and look, let's start there. I generally don't go into these interviews with any game plan, which is probably speaks to my level of professionalism, but
it does. Let's start
with you here. You and I been friends for a few years, been looking for not just ways for us to work together, but for, you know, our career to get to places that we wanted it to, some directions we didn't think we never thought we could be working this job. But here we are at Collider Video,
yeah,
writing every day. And we can sometimes get caught up in the work of the work,
sure,
and that this is a job. But Riley, this is damn fun.
Yeah, it really is. And you said it, you forget sometimes, especially with Collider, we're a small yet mighty crew, and we have a lot on our plate. So
yeah,
sometimes you're working a lot, and the days can get long, and the hours can get longer, and you forget that, oh my God, though, because
you just said it,
and that's what always happens. We go, oh yeah, we're working with our friends.
Yeah, it's like when we've been working on some stuff that you guys, if you're Collider fans, have yet to see. It hasn't been released to the public, and we're really hopeful for it. And it's a project; it's close to Riley and Josh McCuga and I's hearts. And it was fun to write it, make you guys laugh today. And you write one and make us laugh, and Josh writes one and makes us laugh. And that is an interesting, wonderful feeling.
That's the best feeling in the world, is when you're so, I mean, I look at you and McCuga and most everybody here in awe, because
I think
you guys are all just amazingly talented. So, like you said, you read that piece of mine.
Yeah.
McCuga read it, fell off his exercise ball laughing. That was a badge of honor.
Because we do have an exercise ball in the office.
We sure do.
Yeah.
And then I was producing Movie Talk, and you texted me, and I wrote back, that is high praise. You said you spit take.
I had to clean my laptop because I spit out some food, laughing at a line that caught me off guard.
I did it.
And
then I feel good.
And so to backtrack from that, though, so we're in a great spot, whether we believe it or not. And you and I have a personality that can sometimes, it needs to get its ass kicked to remind you that, hey, we're doing something fun and good.
Yeah.
That 3-4 years ago when we first met, if we said, hey, here's what you're going to be doing once Collider Video opens up as an opportunity. And again, that wasn't something we thought existed a few years ago.
No.
Now we're here, but we need to be reminded every now and then. That speaks to our personalities.
We really do.
we need to punch ourselves sometimes.
My wonderful girlfriend, Julie, I can learn from her, I should say.
I was going to say, whoa, I'm not going to end this conversation.
No, because she can smack me so many times. She calls me grumpy sometimes. She's like, what are you upset about? And it's not that I'm upset. It's just, you said it. We kind of forget.
Well, people ask me now, like, hey, Ken, you left your day job, and you had a great job at Screen Junkies. You left your Collider. How's it going? Things are good. I am trying to teach myself to say good, because they are. I have a tendency to go,
I do it sometimes where there'll be days where I'm walking Cal and it's on the beach.
Yeah.
And I go, wait a minute. I know my drive is long, and you know for a fact
I bitch
and moan a lot.
You also have a long drive.
It's a long drive, but then I forget that there's a reason for this long drive. It's because I live with my girlfriend, who I adore, and we need that halfway mark. But then you look around, it's like, okay, I'm living with my girlfriend. I love her to death. It's a nice apartment building. It's on the beach. I got a dog. I'm walking him.
Got a great dog, Cal.
And then I come to work, and I work with all my friends. Really, Riley, what the hell is wrong with you that you can't just look around and be excited? And I think it also – I bring that up because I know we're always looking – we're not looking past what we're doing, because I believe we're very good at our job and we're having fun. But we're always aware of what can we do better. What do we want to do next?
Right.
Where can we take our career to the next level? That's the fine line, though, walking. Yeah, that, well, that can be tough.
Yeah, we need to learn the valuable lesson from one of your heroes, which is Yoda.
Exactly.
Who warns Luke that your mind is never on where you are or what you are doing.
Right.
Your mind's always elsewhere, Luke.
Yes.
And we can do that, too. And that's one of the lessons I'm trying to learn and apply to my life in this coming year and beyond. Hopefully it sticks.
Yeah.
Is that perspective thing. And looking around that, like, hey, yeah, there's some days where we're up against some deadlines, or you hand in a script and it gets notes, and you have to do a lot of changes that you don't maybe don't agree with, maybe don't believe in, or maybe you do, and but you're still grumpy about it because it's like, well, that's my work, and that's the nature of the business. It's the nature of writing. So we as humans can get caught up in that mishmash of BS.
Yeah,
and then there's those days where you and I will turn to each other and be like, we just got to write a parody about Rey on Ancestry.com.
Love that.
And then a great actress comes in and nails it, and we feel proud. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're all right.
Yeah. And to go back to our humble beginnings when I first met you, an instant kinship with you as you were producing the Schmoes Domain show.
Yeah.
And I come in and get involved, and I just remember getting to know you walking towards – Buffalo Wild Wings after the show.
A lot went down at Buffalo Wild Wings.
A lot did. And then as the years went on and we got more involved in helping build the Schmoes empire, as it were, and we're wanting more and we're wanting to get to do this. And then that turned into what we called our CEO calls.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Because we would be driving home and we'd call one another to either talk about the business or talk about wanting to do something different or get out of the job that you're working security for years, and you finally get out and go to Screen Junkies. I was bopping around as it's just so many different things I don't even know, and to finally get to then Geek Nation, and then now we're all here, which is such a wonderful thing.
And it speaks to those moments, and you've had them. You've been in – how long have you been in L.A. now? Almost 20, coming up 20 years too, myself?
Yeah, I mean, 1994.
Yeah.
It was official when I got to USC.
USC,
so
right,
that's
right,
the official
right.
L.A.
So that's a long time. Yeah. I got here in 98.
Yeah.
And it's like your career takes different kind of successes, and you've made a movie, and I've had writing jobs here, production jobs here. I've had some successes here and there on stage, whatever. You can get lost when you're in that forest searching, and then you look back and the path seems clear.
Yeah, I know. I look back and you mentioned the movie. I thought that was just the start of it all, and then it wasn't, and I had to go find work just like everybody. And bopping around, like you mentioned it, the production and then having to, kind of the worst thing in the world, or not the worst thing in the world that can lead you on this path as you touched on, but like doing the movie, I did Gray Skies and I thought that was going to be it. But then having to realize, no, you still got to pay your dues. You're going to do that on the side. And, I'm going to go get my personal training certificate
and learn
become a trainer.
Learn to do some push-ups.
Yep. Learn to do some push-ups, get some clients so that early in the morning I'm training some clients and then I'm done by a certain time so I can go push that movie and do that and do some festivals and all that kind of stuff. And then that led to the next thing and to the next thing and then ultimately here.
How do you face those moments when, like, you kind of touched upon it there when you're making this movie, Gray Skies, which you all still can find on demand out there, right?
Yeah.
You're making that movie and what you put your heart and soul into doesn't work out the way you thought it would.
Right.
It's still there. It still exists. It's a movie people can watch. But like you just said, it didn't start what you thought it would start.
No, and that's going to happen a lot in this business. And I always go to something Al Pacino said, where he's like, he's never done learning this craft of acting.
Hoo-ah! Hoo-ah! Boys alive!
So I get it, too. I mean, there was a lot of thinking in that production where it was like, this is going to be like The Blair Witch, because it was a horror movie and it was shot for a very, very small budget.
Right.
And oh my God, do you think – I remember one of the producers looking at me and just absolutely believing it. She looked at me and said, how much do you think we're going to sell for this? And I went – and in my mind, I had a number which was just above the budget of about $200,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was a bit too big of a number. And I was just trying to be realistic.
Sure.
And she looked at me and absolutely went, no, I think we're going to get $1 million. And I went – God, that's a good number. I like that number. And it didn't happen that way. And so years removed from it, I can look at that thing. I cringe sometime watching that thing, but I learned so much. I'm so proud of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so proud that we did it. It's one of my first produced screenplays that I actually wrote myself.
Yeah.
But I look at it and I go, you know what? There are so many things I would have done differently if I could do it over again.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't, but if I know what I would do. Well, that's preparing me for the next thing.
The next thing that comes in. And again, it's like it's you. I guess you could look at it as a failure, or you could look at it as something that didn't quite work out that, you, like you said, you're learning from, and it sets you up for the next thing. And you had some things go on in your life around the time, too, or afterwards, yeah, that totally set you back to zero. And we laugh, and I say it out of respect, but for the audience, like, yeah, you were on hard times.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, there's you, here you are. You're around the same age as me. We're in our early 40s now. Cringe to say that phrase.
My back hurts.
Yeah. But yeah, there was a point, I'll say, you know, I'm sure you don't mind, but it's like you would have moved back in with your mom. Like you had to go reset to zero late in life.
I did, because that movie, as much as I'm proud of it, it also led to my divorce. Let's be honest here. Yeah. Kids out there listening, I don't know if I would work with your significant other because things happen.
Love will keep us together now.
Yep, not so much. But you also learn, I mean, that was where I learned really, truly who my ex truly was, and just we weren't a fit. And there, a big reason of that is because of the work relationship that we had, and we disagreed a lot. In fact, she was the producer that looked at me and said, $1 million we're going to sell it for.
There you go.
And I went, you're crazy. And not in a bad way. I will always admire her drive, always, but just realistically. But yeah, so that sets you back. You got to go, not only did I live with my mother, I had to go live with Michael Carnacci's mother for a little bit. Had to move out, get my own place, and then fast forward, you know, then you're getting back on your feet after a painful divorce where you're sharing not only a divorce, but you're also sharing a property, an IP together. So you're like, hey, yeah, what's going on with that movie that we produced together? Oh, yeah, no money? Okay, great. And you move on, but then that turned in, man, I dusted myself off pretty good there.
Yeah.
And, did have to live with my mother for a month, but the fun part about this is what I love about the Knapsack Files.
Yeah.
You just peel back the curtain.
You can peel back, baby.
I'm living there with my girlfriend, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we decided to move, and so we needed a place just for a month, and that was the lowest for me, I felt, because I was happy I'm going to be moving in with my girlfriend, but to set up shop at your mother's house and then also to be struggling with work is just another level of, oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask you this. How close did you come to saying, well, the dreams I had as a young man aren't coming to fruition? They're not working out. I'm pulling the plug. I'm going to go be an accountant or something like that.
Yeah, I came real close, especially in that time with my girlfriend who, as you know, we met in Orange County.
Yeah.
And her family and her, including my family, they're all there. So there was a part of me that was like, you know what? I think I'm going to move to Orange County.
Yeah.
I'm going to set up shop with this wonderful woman, and I'm going to just, I don't know. I thought about going back to school. I thought about maybe being a teacher. I thought about I grew up doing children's theater, wonderful, called Musical Youth Artist Repertory Theater that's based out of Orange County. I thought about going back to that, maybe becoming a teacher, like a guest artist, so to speak. Thought about all those things. Thought about even going to my dad's law firm and going, hey, Dad, you know, can I be a paralegal? Just something to get me going to where I would just kind of set up shop. And then, man, things changed pretty fast. We did get our apartment together, and then that's when it was amazing. I talk about Julie about this with my girlfriend. There were things that happened, both of us. We were kind of both going on this parallel career track where she got a bunch of promotions.
Right.
And then I got my job at Geek Nation, which I thought was great. It was great to get me, you know, back into the world that we were doing here. And then that opened up the door for Collider. And before we knew it, we're both professionals working, going full speed ahead. So, man, it's amazing how those things happen, though.
And then you look back and think, God, that's why you hold on for one more day. That's why Wilson Phillips sang it right.
Yeah.
Those three girls had it right. Hold on for one more day.
I know. And I held on for one more day. Maybe it was a week. I don't know. But it worked. I mean, but I always knew that even if I went back to Orange County, and I would always – the one thing I always try to find time to do is write.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that always keeps me coming back. I mean, I talk to you about it all the time.
Yeah.
We take our walks around here with Collider, and just finding that time late at night or on the weekends to just do what I want to do, which is be a successful screenwriter producer. Mm-hmm,
You still have that dream.
Oh,
you still have that goal. I like to say goal instead of dream, because dreams can fade.
Yeah.
Goals will remain or change, and you find a path to make your goals
happen. Absolutely. And it is. It is a goal. It is something that I need to do that it's the one thing that – I mean, it's so amazing that we're writers here, and yeah, I love it because that's one to check – you know, that's the checklist that I wanted to make. You know, I'm going to do this. I always knew I was going to do this, and you look at what we're doing now, it shows that it happened. But I'm still not satiated. I want to be able to finish my screenplay and have – something else happened because I did manage to get an option with my writing partner, and we won some contests, which I thought was great.
It's great stuff.
So that's opening the door a little bit more, where I have this producer slash manager going, "What else do you have?" And I'm like, "Oh, I gotta get to work."
Right.
Man, I never thought I'd have this problem. I'm so tired from writing at my day job that I can't write at night, and it's like because then I'm also having to write movie talk at early in the morning,
and you get up, and then the audience, you know, you get up probably 5:30, 5:45 each day, and produce brutal movie talk, and then stuff to come write sketches and everything.
Yeah. It's a good problem to have.
Hard life, yeah. Hard life, kids.
I know. It's so funny to think about is that I'm writing movie news, but it just becomes something you do, and I'm just very happy that.
Yeah. So you still have these outside pursuits, and I think sometimes that's where I get lost. Where you know the Knapsack Files and Force Center is something I still do outside of my job, and I don't call Collider and I don't call Screen Junkies before that a day job because I left a day job, which was a field that I was good at, rose to the top of that or pretty high to the top, actually turned down a $35,000 to $40,000 a year raise to quit and for a new job, a new promotion within my company to come to go to Screen Junkies. So but I still like you just said, I'm too tired to write when I get home.
Yeah.
There's still that. We are the type of personalities and the type of industry where you always want more, and that's a dangerous double-edged sword.
Yeah, it really is.
You got to find that balance, right?
Yeah, because a million people would probably kill to be where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't really need to bitch about it anymore, and it's not that I'm bitching, it's just a sign that I want to always better myself, and this is yeah, I don't know why I called it my day job. That's so funny because this is the dream realized.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is.
But we're not the working for the weekend type of people. Now, I will say you enjoy a nice boat trip on the weekend.
I do.
Some wine tasting with your wonderful, supportive girlfriend.
Yeah.
I admire that. I look at that. That's enjoying the spoils of your success there, your jobs. But what I mean by not working for the weekend is we're not Monday through Friday, 9 to 5,
right.
Though technically those are our hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we don't hit the weekend. Yay, let's go barbecue. It's like, no, we still got to write. Still got to do a podcast. Still got to do something.
Yeah, that's what's so interesting because that's the one thing I do love. The one thing. There's a lot of things. But Julie, she really does.
No, you only get one thing.
Only one thing.
Love your girlfriend.
No. Yes. But she does remind me that the weekend's coming because she's a very active person. She hits the gym every day. And when the weekend comes, it's either bike ride, hike, go swimming, go to the boat, and I'm like, oh my God. And finding that balance of like having to go, I'm going to have to write first, which she can sometimes still look at me and go, eh? It's the weekend.
Sure.
What do you mean?
We're working for the weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she, to be fair, she's younger than you, so she has a little more energy.
Yeah.
We're old dogs.
She is younger, and so she does have that energy. But she also gets it. She's like, all you have to do, Mark, is say, I'm doing this, and it's worked. The hard part is the weekend does roll around, and I go, you know what? I just want to just forget and just go out there. So 9 times out of 10 lately, I'm not writing. I'm going out. Yeah. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying the spoils, as you put it. And that's a good thing, but I need to find that balance because when you work as much as we do, these are long days.
They're long days, and you were getting to where I was going to go to there with the balance because I struggle to relax.
Yeah,
me too. I've literally had days where I sit down for – I'm going to take a nap. It's Saturday afternoon. I'm going to rest for 30 minutes, close my eyes. I'm real tired, and I end up getting up and recording a podcast in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It's hard to relax because – there's something about it's like you feel guilty not working on things. Do you have that problem?
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
The guilt is like it'll hit me like I have my computer and I have all my documents with Collider marked and all my other stuff, and I will see the current script I'm working on. I put it in my doc.
Mm-hmm.
So it stares me in the face, and there are times where I'm sitting producing movie talk and I see that doc just staring back at me and I go I haven't touched you in so long. That sounded weird. That sounded strangely erotic. I haven't touched you.
Take that as an edit drop.
Yeah, exactly.
Show. But I know what you mean. Yeah, it's sitting there taunting you almost.
Yeah, but I did pull it up over on Saturday and did about an hour. And that's the hardest part for writing is for me is just actually sit down and go at it because I'm also kind of stuck at a moment where I just got to kind of work out some story details. So the work this weekend, an hour and a half of it was kind of working on the next beat, the next section. And that, I went, okay, at least I did it. And then me and my girlfriend went off for a weekend.
Right. So that's the balance. That's the balance.
It's hard.
That's hard. I mean, I'm telling you, there's times I'll turn on a TV show or a video game and I'm like, I beat myself up for it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm not the only one where it's like, you idiot, you're wasting everything. You're wasting your time. You're never going to make it because you're watching this TV show. What are you doing? Get up now. Win an Oscar right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's the balance too, because I was, even before all this, you know, when I was waiting tables or doing personal training, you have this grandiose plan in your mind that, oh, once I sell this, then this will happen. And those are kind of fantasy elements. If
you're buying the boat before you have the cash.
Yeah. I remember thinking, you know, me and Christian worked on the Masters of the Universe He-Man script. And that was just a blip in the radar here. We got we got decently far with it.
I mean, you got close. That could have been something. Man.
Yeah. We were close to me writing the script, story by Christian and along with me, I guess you could say. And I remember getting off the phone with a manager who had just said, I'm going to rep you for this. And I was really excited. And he said, well, it's over at Mattel now. And but Warner Brothers wants to do it, but Mattel has to sign off. And then, but we were talking about this. I remember walking around going, oh my God, there's going to be a bidding war for me and I'm going to be huge. And that's so stupid.
Right.
Because it just literally fell apart like 3 days later. And it was like, this manager was like, well, thank you. And I'm like, don't you want to know what else I'm doing? Like, nope.
Nope.
That was going to be something that he was going to package and be able to do and get a commission and do these things. And I'm sure he would have then continued managing, but he's like, I saw your other sample. Mm. We can't do anything with it. Door's always open. Right. It is. I mean, he's read stuff before or after, but that thing fell apart in the blink of an eye. And that's walking around saying there's going to be a bidding war. What kind of an asshole am I?
That's crazy, and a testament to this industry, which is also, look, you can lose your job in other industries. You can lose your job in any career path, to be clear. But it's there seems to be success turns on a dime the wrong direction. Yeah. I mean, I talk about I left my day job after 17 years. I almost left my day job after 8 years or so. Yeah, about 8 years, because our good friend Christian Harloff, who one of his amazing strengths is always bringing his friends along for the adventures.
That's a good man.
We thought we were had a comedy tour. We thought we were going to, in a bus, filming it for like a reality show, going 4 or 5 comics, going to college campuses. It's going to be great. We had meetings with this, with that. I even called my boss and said, I'm giving you 30 days.
Ooh, wow.
And it fell apart because it just the way it does. And we were all disappointed and bummed out. And I had luckily my boss is someone I've known for most of the time of my career at that time, and was like, hey, don't worry, I definitely don't want to lose you anyways. But and it just, there was that, I thought I had that breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
And then it goes away, and something you think is going to work doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And then hearing your He-Man story, being reminded of that He-Man story, because this is Warner Bros. This was big stuff. This was, your name was going to be in the trades, kid.
Yeah, I did. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It makes me think about, a question for you, Mr. Knapsack, when you had that offer on the table of a huge raise, could that have been the nail in the coffin for the dream, as it were? Would that have been like, you continue doing that?
No, it was so weird. And I've told it on the Knapsack Files recently, and I've heard it before, so I won't go into full detail, but basically it's so weird, and because I have friends in all places, friends in low places. So I have friends in the police department, friends in business, friends in pro wrestling, friends in there, friends in the entertainment industry. So it's different.
You're a well-rounded
individual, if I do say so myself. So it's like, I had a group of friends. I'd already pretty much said I'm leaving and going to Screen Junkies.
Yeah.
Defy Media is going to hire me. This is going to happen. I just hadn't officially told anyone above me in my company. And it was a weird day because I got the notice, hey, from Andy Signore, this is good. We're moving forward with this. Let's talk about it and iron this out. And my boss, my vice president, called me. I mean, we're talking 5 minutes later.
Oh, my God.
And hey, and literally said, I know you have other things you like to do, but, and this is someone who we had not had the best relationship. Not bad, not a bad person at all. He was a tough guy to work for at times, and
sure.
I respected him a lot, hard worker. But so he was like, hey, so it was a lot for him to ask me.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Yeah, he literally asked me that question. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, where do you see yourself with us in 5 years? And in my head, I wanted to answer, like, even without Screen Junkies in the picture, I wanted to answer far away from here. You know, but
yeah.
But I also had thought that 2 years in the job, five mm-hmm. years in the job, 10 years on the job, 15 years on the yeah. job, I got the big promotion to where I was at the time of this phone call. Mm. And I'm like, I don't know, what do you got? You know, it's like that thing when someone calls you, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Yeah. Whoa, what are you asking
Why?
Me
what
to
are you
do?
Doing? Yeah, I got to vet this yeah. plan, whatever it is.
And long story short, I said, well, I've kind of got something. He could tell there's some hesitation in my voice, and he goes, you're going to tell me you're going to quit, aren't you? And I was like, well, Randy, yeah, I actually got something I'm working on. I actually just got an email. I'm waiting to call you and Nick, who is technically my supervisor. And he's like, I haven't told you and Nick yet. And he's like, well, I'm calling to offer you to replace Nick because Nick is leaving to take another job. Wow. And I was like, and he immediately said, here's the figure.
Oh, okay.
And it was going to push me close to six figures. And, you know, that's a small number in LA at times. But sure. obviously, I had that moment of, it wasn't for the money. Like, I'm going to go get a Ferrari and a boat. It was right. like, I could pay off my debt. I could mm-hmm. live. I could breathe. I could.
Yeah. There's
all the things I'm
said.
Working for. So, yeah. And so go to the original train of thought here on this monologue I've got going on. All my friends in the entertainment industry, and I think among you and Christian and everything, were just like, no, you don't even think about it.
Mm.
You know, because it had been building up, too, for a couple of days. And I told my boss, I said, give me a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And I legitimately was like, I need that couple of days to sort through. Mm-hmm. Because Screen Junkies, you and I talk, these jobs, these digital media jobs, they fade away.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember, I turned this around on you on the interview and asked, because I remember you telling
You've
me
You've been
about
on the
this.
Show enough that you can ask me questions.
There it is. I love it. But yeah, I remember you telling me this, because I was getting ready to go over to Geek Nation. I think right. We were coming from AfterBuzz. We were still doing Schmoes, trying to make that work, hoping that Schmoes would open doors like it did. And I remember you telling me that, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's tough.
It's tough.
It's tough to think about, because there is something interesting about, you know, having that, and it's not the money, but having that kind of stability. That
stability, yeah.
I know what that feels like, because having the stability I have now with a mm-hmm. year behind me with Collider, it wasn't there with my mm-hmm. personal training, with the movie, with the jumping from job to job.
Yeah.
It can really, it aged me probably 10 years, because I just was, oh, my God, mm-hmm. it's awful. So I know that feeling.
No, and then I had all the friends on the business side and the police side who are like, what are you, crazy? You take that raise. You rarely on this side of the world, this kind of the business world or the regular world, you know, entertainment industry, yeah, you might sell a script and suddenly you got $1 million.
Sure.
Not as prevalent as it was in the 90s or late 80s, but that can happen. But in this world, you don't get that.
Yeah.
And you need to do it. Mm-hmm. I had friends straight up tell me you need to do it. And I had that thought. And in the end, obviously chose to go Screen Junkies. I remember I got in the car heading down to Comic-Con that year. Harloff picks me up. And we just had we were listening. You know, Harloff's got some great music. He always has some cool songs to play. Mm-hmm. And we're in the car driving down. We're listening to some inspirational songs. Like, hey, we're going to take over the world this year, you know. And he's kind of like, he I'd already officially signed on with Screen Junkies. It wasn't announced. And he says to me, he's like, you did good, kid. You did good. I'm proud of you. You made the right decision.
Yeah.
And you don't look back. But, you know, it's tough, though. It comes those moments. And we're old men now.
Yeah.
We're still young, but the gray in our beard says otherwise.
It
There's
does.
Those moments you look back, it's like these do or die moments, and you in your, you know, mom's house and, you know, supportive situation for a short time with a girlfriend.
God.
But, you know, you could have gone, and it's not the wrong route. Mm-hmm. It's just sometimes the safer route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was safe in the sense that I was able to save rent for at least a month.
Right.
But then it was also very dangerous for my psyche because of living with your mother
sure.
at the age that I was with my girlfriend, which, God bless her, she did it.
Yeah, let's give a lot of credit to Julie.
Jeez, I can't believe
she fell in love and stayed with a jobless homeless man.
I know. and would come out. She would go to work, and I would be, oh, I'm going to do whatever. And she would come out, and there's my mother sitting on the chair. So what are you doing today? Are you always going in this late? And I'm like, Julie got to a point where she's like, your mother is asking me these questions. And I'm like, welcome to living with my mother. She's like, so you always go in this late? And it's like, yeah, I'm the manager. I can do what I want. I'm going to do this and this. And she's just sitting outside our bedroom. Great. You know, it was a crazy time.
That's awesome. But she stuck through it. She stuck through with you.
She stuck through it. She knew, you know, that there was the bigger, you know. That's what's great about Julie. She can actually look past. She would even tell me, she's like, this is just for now, Mark. Why are you so freaking out? And it's like, no, I'm going to die any day now. I'm going to burst in flames and vampire bats are going to fly out of my head. And she's like, really? Because you know what? In 2 weeks, we're moving. And I'm but then vampire bats. And what? You're right.
You're really afraid of vampire bats.
I don't know why. Maybe because we just did Collider Nightmares.
So. Oh, could be. That's the best show on the internet, man.
Yep.
So, yeah, man, I love it. I mean, it's so weird in this path. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this where you and I are right now, sitting in the offices of Collider Video, working on the Awesome Tacular show, which I hope you're all checking out there if you have Rise and Go 90.
Please do.
Or the sketches get released
good
a little bit later on the Collider Video YouTube channel. You know, like, this path really started when you took a job at California Pizza Kitchen.
God,
and
I know.
Met Christian George Harloff.
I met Christian at California Pizza Kitchen.
Yeah.
I never thought that this would... I mean, I had the same, that saying that I met Christian at California Pizza Kitchen, same thing when we were working on the Masters of the Universe script, the He-Man script. It's the same kind of thing. He was always Christian Harloff. I mean, this guy's been scheming since day one. Yes. And when I say scheming, I mean, he's got a plan and he wants to do it. And me and him and now Brett Sheraton, who a wonderful person on the new show, but he's fairly new now on the show. But we would all be running around talking Star Wars and talking about what we're doing. And Christian saw something in me and I saw something in him, and we got along famously. And I remember sitting, probably this is before your comedy tour thing happened, but we were going to do some comedy.
That was 2006.
It was around... Maybe it was – no, it was probably a little bit sooner than that. It was probably maybe 2002 or 2003.
Right,
I can't remember. But and then that kind of stopped, and then you probably had your experience. And then, I don't know, he just said – I can't remember what it was. He got a hold of one of my scripts when he was at Joel Silver, and then that just kind of launched over there. But, yeah, it did start with California.
It's so weird, those journeys through life, you know? You don't know. And I think my Knapsack Files listeners probably get tired of me saying it, where I'm always like, look at – you don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know where you are. You're in that forest. If you have these goals – and this is to any place, any career, any this and that. I mean, my friend Paul's a police sergeant. A lot of it has to do because we met on a graveyard shift and I helped get him promoted to another rank in the security industry, where if he hadn't been promoted and I hadn't believed in him, he would have gone another direction. He always goes back to that thing, and that led to this, and that led to that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's prevalent anywhere. And that is another lesson to look back into. When you're in that forest, you look back and that path becomes clear, and who you met here and who you met there. And it speaks to your day. You know, Christian's driven and is going to bring his friends. But, you know, if you're not worthy of that drag along, he's not going to bring you.
Exactly.
So take some credit here, Mark.
I will.
Good guy.
Well, Christian always jokes sometimes. He's like, hey, who got you over here? And I always just fire right back. Well, you opened the door. You know, it's because you have to, and I'm sure Christian will laugh at that, but you have to know that, like, he did. He gave me a great opportunity. He did open the door. I got to do the rest. I'm not going to just walk in and be
that's
schlub.
That's not a nip at him. That is a reminder to you and all of us. Because I always say, like, I would occasionally at my old job, I would hire in friends. Mm-hmm. And this is just the security industry, but it's like some of those would end up being disappointments and hires, because it's like they're hurting my reputation.
Absolutely.
And it works. Works in here too. Look, and the industry, we make fun of Adam Sandler, but I think Adam Sandler's really good at bringing his friends, and that can be good and bad. I get it, but it happened. You know, sports, baseball teams, a batting coach for the Marlins becomes a manager for the Dodgers. He's going to bring players and coaches he knows over, because it's a certain loyalty thing, and you don't want to get locked into it. You always want to try to bring in new talent, new people.
Sure.
And I think that's a lot of what you see going on in Hollywood too, with the diversity issue. It's like, hey, it's not just about a race or gender thing. It certainly is, but it's like new voices, new faces.
Yeah.
At the same time, the flip side is, it's like, I think it's really important to craft these connections and these loyalties and see them to the end. Storm the castles, they'd say in Princess Bride.
Yeah, and we keep going to this schmoes movie show that we were a part of. Yeah. When these positions opened up, and it's not just me, it's not just you, it's not just Makuga, right. It's a lot of these kids now that are over here.
Kids.
They are kids with some of them. Yeah. But they were right for the job, and there's a reason why they're here, and they didn't leave after a week or 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they're all good. Cody and Comster. And
RB3 was like 13 when we started the show.
And now he's 14? He's 14. God, that kid is so young. I keep forgetting he's 19.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
And we open that door and they earn their keep. And I think that's another thing too, is earning your keep and get in here. Yeah, I could get brought over here to Collider, but if I sit on my ass, take naps on this couch. Though we do have a nice couch in this office.
I'm thinking about a nap.
And I have taken a nap on there.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the workday, folks, I'll have you know. But yeah, you got to earn that keep. You know, we talked about. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this. You talked about Christian Harloff and his passions. His biggest passion right now is, of course, the movie trivia Schmodown. For the Knapsack Files listeners who don't already know about the Schmodown, and I actually believe there could be a few of you. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you like movie trivia and you like pro wrestling, or at least can tolerate it, this is the best combination of those two things.
And, it really is.
It's over on Collider Video. We release episodes Tuesday and Friday, and it is growing in popularity in large part, number one, because of Christian's driving passion, but number two is the cast of characters and you being one of the more prominent figures.
I guess I am.
Mark Yodi Reilly.
Sure. I love it.
And You're interesting because you always hate the idea of performing and going in, and then you win, and you come out of it, and you're a killer.
God, it's some. I know. I'm back on the, do I really have to do this again? And then, I got a match coming up, and I'm like, it's going to really. And then if I do win, I'll be like, yeah, let's do this. Yeah, it's such a thing.
That speaks to your larger personality, what we were talking about earlier, too, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I am very competitive. I'm not going to lie. I got to win these things. I do. I want to win every single time. And then I forget that it's movie trivia, and that's just movie trivia. We don't need to.
But once you get there. Once Roka's talking smack to you, happening.
Well, now I've taken a different approach with Mr. Roka.
What is that approach?
Well, can you
share it here?
Yeah, that guy can talk all the shit he wants. I'm going to put it right back at him now. Because there was a very long time. This is my third match with the guy.
Right.
There was a very long time where he would just kind of do his, his mouth just opened and I would just gloss over. I'm like, oh, look, the Mummy trailer.
Right.
Whatever. And then now I'm like, no. I'm going to go right back at you.
Give it right back at him, man.
Because it's so much fun and I'm seeing how the league is becoming this thing with these wonderful people. Now you too, my friend.
Sure,
you are there.
Rachel,
you made a hell of a showing with the Nerds Watch.
Yeah.
And you were like killing it in the first round of questions. Yeah. But I love seeing that because it's a show. Mm-hmm. And we know that it's fun. It's wrestling. It's, these big personalities. And sure, sometimes maybe we're shit talking. Sometimes we're forming alliances. But at the end of the day, you got to know your stuff. And that's where it's unscripted. You got to walk in and know your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because and that's where it gets you. Because, Roka is a beast. He is so good at his movie trivia. But I know I'm good, too. And I know I can take him. But then, man, we were just at WonderCon, and I got inundated with people going, you could do it. You could beat Roka. And I'm sitting there laughing going, he's one of my good friends. I hope.
I mean, I know it's working. The reason I know this whole show is working, and I think there's good things coming for the Schmodown, I mean, stuff we know of behind the scenes, and just what I believe in it now is, and not now, I always did. I believe in Christian from the start. But it's like you see it working because I've run into fans, not just at conventions. I've run into Matt Key and his wife Brittany. We ran into some fans in Pasadena on St. Paddy's Day, and they just had a lot to say about the Schmodown. And it's not just, again, it's movie trivia. And that's fun because people like trivia, bar trivia, pop culture trivia. I love the video game Buzz on PS3, PS4. You can have fun playing that. So people love that.
Yeah.
But this idea of the characters and the people and the personalities is what's starting to grab. Because when I'm stopped by these fans of the show, I should say, not of me, but fans of the show, it isn't like, oh, that question about Labyrinth. We love that. It's like, oh, man, Baby Carrots Ellis is our favorite. Oh, classy Clark Wolf. We love her. And then I ran into this one girl, and she was like, who's that guy who wears the cowboy hat, thinks he's like an outlaw? Oh, John Roka. I want to punch him.
Oh, yeah.
And that's... then I was at a wrestling show the other night, and one of my colleagues in the industry I hadn't seen for a couple of years, and he came up to me and was like, oh, man, I am such a big fan of the Schmodown. Oh, I love the Outlaw John Rocha because I love the Four Horsemen thing, and I love all that. So, and you've been able to craft kind of a, it's an extension of who you are. It's kind of a fan favorite, right?
I guess, yeah. As I've been going deeper in this league and seeing what's happening with, you know, the John Rochas or the Four Horsemen that are coming out, you know, I'm the opposite. I'm the hero. I'm the guy that's gonna take on this bully.
Did you want to be the hero always?
It's a heavy mantle. I'm trying to carry it and wear it well. Yeah. I never thought it would be this way. I thought, you know, John Rocha was very popular and as well as he should be because he's a phenomenal performer in that league.
Yeah.
Good at what he does. And I love taking him on. It's a good rivalry. I love going after him because I know I can beat him. And then to hear it felt pretty straight down the middle during our WonderCon appearance, where I was like, do you think it's Riley or do you think it's Rocha? And I was very surprised that it felt like there was a good, healthy mix of both at 50-50.
Yeah.
There might be a little bit more who roots for the villain, but, you know, I'm looking at that going, you know what, Rocha? You're a bully. You need to be stopped. You bully Emma Fife, who's one of my favorite people now. Yeah. You bullied her. You said some mean things to her. You know what? You know what? You can keep beating me all you want. I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to keep doing it because that's what a hero does. And it's true, and I love it. And it's become a lot of fun. Become a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great to see you've kind of you've always been a performer. You have that background, but to see a lot of people come into their own in the Schmodown too. It's you know, I look at what, like, say, Miss Movies has done, Brianne Chandler, who was a shy girl when I first met her. A shy, nice, quiet, polite mother.
Yeah.
And now she's turning into, she's got a big match coming up with Perry, Perry Nemiroff that is not out there yet. She's a killer now. She's got this personality's coming out. I get to tag team with the movie trivia tag team division with Rachel Cushing, who's a quiet, wonderful, intelligent editor, sits in a room quiet, and she's now this crusher persona who just comes in and crushes the competition, and that is fun to watch.
It's so fun to watch, especially Rachel, who I have a special place in my heart for her in particular. She's running Schmoes No. I was able to give her the mantle to that, help with that, and then for to see her take off and do that. Was amazing.
Right. Absolutely. Who you are, you don't know who you're going to get until you get into that ring.
I know. the lights will, a lesser man has fallen to his knees under the lights because you forget things. And it happens all the time because you forget a question.
Yeah.
And if the Schmodown God isn't on your side or the wheel of faith the wheel of destiny, whatever it is, because that's another big component that a lot of these fans, I don't think they look at. Yeah. The luck of the draw with these questions. You're choosing three numbers at the end. You're spinning a wheel. If you spin movie release dates and you're not Scott Mance, bye-bye. That's it. You're done.
Yeah.
It, especially if you're going against a John Rocha or even a Dan Merle or a Bibiani, a Christian Harloff, you yourself, Mark Ellis, these are Josh McCuga even.
Yeah.
Something I didn't get to say on the panel was that, you know, we all did the first round of these things. We're all still here doing it, and we're still some of the bigger names in this league, which is so fun to watch.
That's crazy.
Oh my God.
Crazy. So as we come to around the corner of the bend on this episode here, Mark, I want to come back to you, go back to maybe the beginning of this conversation, but I'm going to ask you the question I was asked.
Ooh.
But in life.
Okay.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years, I'll definitely have sold a screenplay.
Okay.
I have that knowledge. I have that faith. I have that feeling because there's something interesting. Going to go back. I always knew I'd be doing this. I don't know how. Right. And I've had so many. We talk about the false starts, the backs, the going
close
back,
calls,
close calls. There's going to be a bidding war for my He-Man that I didn't even create. It's just I'm looking at a toy and I'm creating my own story from that. Bidding war my ass, Riley. But there's always something that I felt like I'm supposed to be doing this. I had that feeling when I did, I was able to do the Star Wars trilogy in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Performed for George Lucas. That was amazing, a bucket list thing. And I go, I'm doing the right thing. And then with the He-Man thing, again, I had that feeling. And then now, especially with Collider and being able to write, I just feel like in the middle of all this Collider wonderfulness, I was able to win a screenplay conversation.
Conversation,
of course.
Sure.
And you know, get it optioned and have it going to actually talent, which I can't even believe. Mm-hmm. So 5 years, I'm going to probably be married and probably have some screenplays under my belt. And hopefully one of those is a movie in the cinema.
I love that, and I love that you dropped the M word, because that's an entire different conversation.
That's another conversation.
It's a bigger conversation, but glad to see you potentially, maybe, jumping back into that ring after you were in it in a ring of fire.
Yeah, it was a ring of fire. That is another long conversation, but I've come around on it. I sure have.
Which is another interesting journey. Mark Riley, you were always one of the best people around, and a great interview, because you've loved and lost. You've learned. You've failed and succeeded. It's all there. So tell the fine folks where they can find you.
Well, thank you, Ken. Find me at Riley Around on Twitter and Instagram. You'll see everything I'm doing on there. I will share it with you all.
Absolutely. That is it. The Knapsack Files is, of course, on Stitcher, Podomatic, and iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes if you can. And we have the Patreon page, which is up. You get exclusive content and participate in polls and Q&A sessions and all those wonderful things, because I love you all who have reached out to support. But I love every one of you. You're supporting me no matter what, just by listening. So that is it. Until next time, for Cal, Mark, and myself, we'll see you. Bye.